Good evening or good morning, depending where you are, on the 23rd or the 22nd of September 2021. I trust, because God is good all the time, you are well in the Lord as we stay near Christ's leading side. I'd like to share a small story with you. Comes from the book, The Bible Guide, 40 Days to a Better Understanding of God's Will for Your Life. Would you be willing to die if you could live again as a new person? Isn't this the gospel? Freed from the mental torture of your past, the guilt of it, the regret of it. And you can just see some people say, well, that would be good if it were true. But there are others that don't even say that. They're still listening to your sentence. And it can happen to you, because it's happened to millions before us. We must die to be born again. God can lift the burden of our sin from our sagging shoulders, make you his own child, and strengthen you day by day to live a new life with him. True immersion baptism is a symbol of that new life in Christ. People one day were passing a large billboard in a great city and were surprised at its message, born once to die twice, or born twice to die once. Many live only for themselves and will experience both the first and second death, but some yield their lives to Christ and praise the Lord, we may be among them. Experience the new birth and will inherit eternal life. Death will be a thing of the past. Even death is going to be killed, according to Revelation 20. I've chosen for that. Hugs all round, brethren and sisters coming in. Glad you could join us. Hello, dear Sister Luce. And trust everyone's internet connection stays strong. I've chosen for tonight's song, Praise Him, Praise Him, Jesus, our Blessed Redeemer. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our Blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, praise him. Tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song.
Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Praise, hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded. Wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Amen. Glory be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, to indeed praise him, not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, to quote Zechariah 4:6. So it is with the loud cry, so it is with everything that's good and of God. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we continue our study in that wonderful revelation in Revelation 13 chapter. Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be able to bow our heads and by thy grace our hearts, and if we're able, our knees, before the maker of the heavens and the earth, and before our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, whom you sent, which is all of heaven in the one gift. And Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit to represent you to us, to show us who you are, and thereby show us who you are not and what you are not, to the law and to the testimony. I want to thank you for making this meeting possible online. Thank you for internet connection. May it be strengthened just as far and as long as we need it. And may others who might be listening to the recording in the future, the many recordings that have been made available on Led to Be Light Ministries on a variety of subjects, that they will continue to be made available, and other social media that's being used to reach out with the untarnished truth. The truth is truth, and to mix error with it is to spoil the truth, because you are the preserver of truth, and that does not involve error. We thank you for the warnings of Holy Writ. We know that we will benefit as we yield to you, and we're asking you, Spirit, to take control of us for the rest of the week leading to Sabbath, that we can indeed enter into the rest that the Godhead entered into after the 6 days of creating. We thank you for the good news of the dear brethren and sisters in Uganda being able to meet in greater numbers. Thank you for these being lifted, the restrictions. May they continue. And above all, may each of our faith, as we see signs in the times in the past before any of us were alive, when we just look at the prophecies delineating where we are in the scheme of time, that we would get much encouragement from it. We're looking at a prophecy right now that has not been fulfilled and yet is being fulfilled, but has not completely, thank God, that we might prepare not only ourselves, but in preparing ourselves, it means preparing others to share with them. And to live out the Christian life in a world that is dying, that is soon to be renewed, along with the human beings that are fit for it through the grace of God. We thank you for taking care of the sisters and brethren in difficult weather or earthquakes as well, especially just last week, last Sabbath, thanking you that the preservation of our life provides opportunities for us to praise you more. And please help us increase with an understanding, a growing understanding, to not go throughout one day without an increase of knowledge, without a heavenly manna being fed on, living on the word of God and believing in its power to sustain us, no matter what trial or what place or circumstances we are found in. Help dear sister Petwa's mother get through the ordeal that she is facing now. We're thanking you gratefully that she is doing well, Sister Petwa, and other brothers and sisters that have had or have struggled are getting a little bit of it, little bit better. We're thankful just for the little amount. We know all things work for good to them that love you, who are called according to your purpose. We believe in your power to save. Please direct and guide your children who are suffering now with greater insight into their condition and those who are taking care of them. And please heal our souls by convicting us of sin and of Christ's righteousness and what it means to be continually wearing it, and of the judgment to come where mercy rejoices against the judgment. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, let's review what we looked at last week. We read two verses, very significant, verses 14 and 15. We talked about how men that are unable, and women and children, unable to explain Satan's miracles will attribute them to the power of God, and the whole world will be led captive. Almost. It's not to deny that the saints will know who's doing it. The miracles are real, but the purpose and who it's claiming to come from is not what it appears to be or is said to be. An image to the first beast is therefore, would be an organization functioning on much the same principles as the beasts, as that beast organization, which we read of earlier in the chapter 13, which principles with the first beast, what they operated on, we learnt that it was the secular arm to support the religious institutions. And so the imitation, the second beast, would repudiate its principles of the freedom from such. The church will prevail upon the state to enforce its dogmas, and church and state unite, and the result will be the loss of religious liberty and the persecution of dissenting minorities. And we read in Four Spirit of Prophecy, page 279, that when the churches of our land, referring to the United States of America, uniting upon such points of faith as are held by them in common, shall influence the state to enforce their decrees and sustain their institutions, then will Protestant America have formed an image of the Roman hierarchy. Then a true church will be assailed by persecution as were God's ancient people. And so it is to speak, end of quote, it is to speak. The first thing the newly formed image does is, through its laws and enactments, makes its presence known, and then to cause, once it's officially spoken through those laws, the image puts them into effect or polices it. And since they're religious laws, indeed, because it's got everything to do with worship, they'll cut across the consciences of every human being who have convictions about these things. And of course, there are others that won't so much be moved except if they want to continue to buy and sell. And of course, we read, force will be exercised in carrying out these enactments. So in the attempt to make all Earth's inhabitants give allegiance to the first beast, the second beast will issue a decree threatening with death all who maintain their loyalty to God. So they go all the way with it to get their way. Can't kill a person twice. And so in the Bible, there are two calls to worship. There are 2 days in the world the Christian world worships on, the first, Sunday, and the last day, Sabbath, Saturday of the week, the Lord's Day, which is the Sabbath, Saturday, or the Beast Day, or the first day, or Sunday. So that's roughly what we looked at last week. So that takes us to the act of how the image of the beast is going to enforce, or what it's going to require to be done to bring this about. And would someone like to read verse 16? And as usual, any comments, any questions, any insights anyone wants to share, please do so. And thank you.
And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads.
Amen. Well, doesn't that cover everyone? No one's missing out there. And notice it mentions the fact that there's free and bond involved as well. Slavery. Interesting. And of course, you read this chapter 13 from about verse 12, what's on the screen, you start to think, wow, is anyone going to be free? Who's going to make it? And of course, Revelation 14 is going to have that answer, because there is a remnant that refused compliance with this decree. So they have to receive something, and which is called here a mark. So a badge of loyalty that is a special feature that displays worship for this first beast, whose deadly wound is said to have been healed in verse 8. And there's been a lot of speculation. There has been before we came onto the scene, you know, in our generation. Misunderstandings, and they've existed especially in the 20th and 21st century. But we had some clear outlines as this chapter is linked to chapter 14, that it's got everything to do with worship, and the only worship commandment in God's commandments is the seventh day Sabbath and how it's to be kept and what day it's on. So it can be no other than something contrary to this who enforces it, and was a power for over a millennia previous to this becoming, again, a power again with the help of the image of the beast and the two-horned lamb that speaks as a dragon. So we're going to read about the warning of receiving this, obviously, in chapter 14 and go in more detail, which swells into a loud cry, according to Revelation 18. And thankfully, the whole purpose of it is, of course, to enlighten men on the issues that are involved. And once it's clearly brought to their view, that people support the institution of the beast and disobeying God's Sabbath command, they're showing their allegiance for that power, which has no higher authority than a sinful man and a sinful organization, no matter how high and exalted man says it is and is to be. So when we look at this, a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, how far does that go? Perhaps we could say that, you know, at the outset, it would indicate that not only one's leg, but also and had with goodness on others. How this sounds Christian, does it? Can you hear me now? Is it lagging now?
No, you're okay now, but you were lagging on the last sentence.
Oh, thank you. I think I know why that was. The usual call from Sydney. I get some calls. They just, oh, great. It's much better now. Thank you for that heads up. Yeah, when I'm getting a call, it affects the internet. And who knows who they are. They never leave messages, except when I do answer, they're selling something. Isn't it a blessing we don't have anything to sell? We've got something to give them, just like God gave us something. And it's not anything. It's not just something. It's eternal life through Jesus. So you've got, I'll ask the question, what does it mean to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads? And I've got a couple of things to put in the room just to look at this a bit closer, I should say. I'll just see if I can get in there. So we have Jeremiah 38:23. It says, thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. And Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So that's two mentions of the hand. And then, of course, there's the mention of the foreheads in Revelation 7:3, Revelation 9:4, Revelation 14:1, and chapter 20:4, and 22:4, speaking about foreheads. Now, there's an interesting take on this. I'm going to give you, I'm sure you probably all read it in the past. There's three statements from the Spirit of Prophecy I'd like us to look at. Just see if I can get it in here. Okay, so the first one, let's look at Maranatha, page 204. Would someone like to read that to us, talking about the mark in the right hand or on the forehead?
Those who have been self-distrustful, who have been so circumstanced that they have not dared to face stigma and reproach, will at last openly declare themselves for Christ and his law, while many who have appeared to be flourishing trees, but who have borne no fruit, will go with the multitude to do evil and will receive the mark of apostasy in the forehead or in the hand.
Amen. Thank you, sis. So we get a description here, much like the Bible says, like the mark of apostasy. That's what she's explaining it. And it's got to be an apostasy. It's got something to do with the commandments of God versus the commandments of men. It's going to be in the forehead or in the hand. Well, she even deepens that to a greater deal. Even if you were to receive it in one or the other, notice what she says in the next quote. She says from Last Day Events, page 224. He calls up all, both small and great, dot, 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 to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Revelation 13:16. not only are men not to work with their hands on Sunday, but with their minds are they to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath. That's interesting, isn't it? And that's also special testimonies to Battle Creek Church. Quite significant, isn't it? There's one going with the other, it would appear, even if people are just stopping work on Sunday. But with their minds, are they to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath? Would someone like to read the last quote? Review and Herald, April 27, 1911.
A refusal to obey the commandments of God and a determination to cherish hatred against those who proclaim these commandments leads to the most determined war on the part of the dragon, whose whole energies are brought to bear against the commandment-keeping people of God. He causeth all, both small and great, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Not only are men not to work with their hands on Sunday, but with their minds are they to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath. And no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Thank you, dear bro. So you can see that from these inspired statements, the significance of even if you just do it just so you can, you know, I have to support my family or myself, or, you know, I have to be able to buy or sell, and you've got no religious convictions, or you've got the other people that say, oh, yeah, this has always been right. The Lord's Day has always been Sunday, even though I know I haven't got proof from the Bible. But we changed it, man changed it, and God's accepted it. And now the false Christ, which they call Christ, has acknowledged this, that whatever group you're in, whatever camp you're in, the one with the hand is still this whole Satan's not, it's good to get to force people. Satan's okay with that. That's great. That's all part of his worship. But he wants more than that. He's never satisfied with just that much, which is, brings out that, but with their minds are they to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath. Imagine people who are irreligious. You know, I mean, we see it today on other subjects. They're telling you what the Bible says, a book they never read. They come up with statements about certain things about life that they think is very biblical, because they've heard others perhaps say it, but they don't actually have any foundational study for themselves to come to the table. So Satan is not satisfied just with the hands giving up work to acknowledge his authority, but wants them to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath. And I imagine that'll be definitely with the lips. Obviously, being in the forehead in the first place to choose to proclaim such things. Does any brothers or sisters have anything they'd like to share before we go to the next verse?
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that point out, because I've looked at it from the aspect, you know, you may not believe it, but you're going to go along with it, and thus you receive it in the hand. But here it seems to say they both go together. You can't just have the one. You're gonna need both. But it may be very similar to how it was during the Dark Ages. You either had to confess with your mouth that Christ was literally in the Eucharist, or you had to put your name on a document that you believed it. So it may be the same in these last days. You know, like they're talking about having a card proving vaccination. It may be the same with the mark of the beast. You've signed a document, you've publicly confessed or privately confessed to authorities or whatever it might be. that you're going to go along and that you believe Sunday is the Sabbath. And then they put your name on a list and you have this card to allow you to buy and sell. And without that card or whatever it might be, it's just history is just repeating itself. I had one other point. If you could actually go back to Revelation 13:16. And what came to mind is this is talking about the last days. And it specifically mentions the different kind of classes of people, rich and poor. So in the last days, there's going to be poor people. Christ says the poor you will have with you always, and you can help them whenever you're impressed to or whenever you want. So that shows us that as socialism tries to make everybody equally on the same level of finances, that's not going to happen in these last days. Because here we see in the very last days, there's still that difference between the rich and the poor. And also bond. I think slavery is included, but I think it's also more because Paul talked about when he was in prison, the bonds that he was in. You know, you could look at it as the shackles on his hands or just the lack of freedom from prison. So I think that also is included in the word bond. I actually haven't looked it up or remember looking it up in the Greek to see all the different meanings of it.
Oh, thank you. Very insightful. Yeah, that's very interesting because this is from the perspective that all's involved, isn't it? It says in cause of all. So it's involving the whole world. I can just see someone say, oh yes, but, our nation, there is no rich and poor, but this is including the whole world. So the whole subject would be everyone has these kinds of people. It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, when you mentioned that, the rich and the poor, I thought immediately of those who do think that the communist regime is a real success. It gets rid of the class distinctions. But whatever it does, or whatever it's doing, or whatever it has done, my understanding is the verse is dealing with the whole world. So as such, it's, you know, without the borders, it's rich and poor, free and bond, from a whole perspective or global perspective, rather than just, oh yeah, except that pocket over there and that pocket. Is that how you're seeing it?
Sounds like it's worldwide, just like this COVID thing. Doesn't matter who you are, or what station you're in, you better get the jab or you're excluded from society. And they could take it a step farther and start publishing people's names that haven't had the jab. They haven't gone there yet, but they're just very adamant about trampling on your freedom to make a decision according to your conscience.
Yeah, amen. And what a lot of people don't recognize is that there's going to need to be booster inoculations for COVID. And so even though you have a card now, you're going to need to continue to have that card updated or continue to get a new card, which means you're going to continue to be jabbed each time. So it's not just one jab and you're forever secure. It's going to be a continuous process because viruses mutate.
Yeah, I saw in the news that they're expecting a horrible, horrible mutation of this that's going to just bring a complete disaster upon the whole world. They're already talking about it.
I think if we could really study the spirit of prophecy and what she says about germs, I think we could go back even to history and find that there was a, should I say, a battle between Pasteur and another scientist. The other scientist believed, like I believe Sister White believed, but Pasteur brought in the germ theory. And to this day, they have not really proved the germ theory. So it's still a theory. But that's what this whole COVID has been based on. And so they use that to promote the fear factor in everyone. Oh, all these bugs are out to get you. If we study the spirit of prophecy, we find that those so-called bugs proliferate in a bad situation in the individual. And if they overrun the good bugs, it's because the situation in the individual has created the food for these organisms. So instead of taking more filth into the body through jabs, vaccines, etc., we need to clean up the system. And part of that is obeying the 8 laws of health. Or I should say, all of that involves keeping the 8 laws of health.
Amen. Amen, brother and sister. And thank you, Sister Joan. Were you all aware that Sister Alan White got vaccinated for smallpox and encouraged everyone to get vaccinated who were working with her in the country town that she was living in at the time that there was an outbreak?
I would like to see actual verification of that. I have my son checked into that, and he could not see anywhere in her writings that she advocated getting a vaccine or that she herself admitted having gotten the vaccine. Other people claim that she did, but I have not found anywhere where she personally advocates it.
Thank you, sis. That's interesting. And have you found anywhere where she doesn't where she denounces vaccination? It's hard, isn't it, when you do a word search and nothing comes up?
I haven't exactly seen where she denounces it, but God gave her the health message, and it did not include taking toxins into the system.
So you feel like it would be natural immunization she was more for?
Absolutely. Living the 8 laws of health in spite of all the environmental toxins, God will still bless us for following his laws.
Amen. And yeah, Brother James, the silence on specific issues in the spirit of prophecy can be frustrating at times. But I think that silence is there for a reason. It forces the individual themselves to study, to become intelligent on the issue, and then to make their own decision on it. And so when individuals say you've done the wrong thing, but they don't have a thus saith the Lord to show it, it just reveals that they've made their choice and others have made their choice. And by whatever choice we make, we sort of have to live with the fallout of it. But it would be nice if there wasn't the silence there.
Along the same line, I found out that the denomination basically was teaching around 1900, before, of course, that the two-horned beast was speaking like a dragon. Now, if you go back into history and in the spirit of prophecy, there was great persecution and Sunday laws coming in from 1888 on. And there were even some Adventists that were put to death because of these Sunday laws. Well, the government didn't like that. And by 1915, the government came to the denominational leaders and said if they didn't stop teaching that, some of them would go to jail. So from that point on, they quit teaching that, and they started changing books. Now, you can find evidence, because it's talked about in the 1919 Bible Teachers Conference, how the government had come to them and threatened them.
Oh, that's interesting, sis. That would be great to look at that document that you're referring to. You know, nothing new under the sun. It is fascinating when you hear something like that, and that so early on, you know, after the prophet died. Would someone like to read verse 17 for us? And any comments, any questions? You want to continue this conversation to the previous verse? Keep it up.
And that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Amen, sis. So here we have the stern measure that's going to be taken in an effort to secure the compliance with the dictates of the image, which happens to have the most powerful nation on earth behind it. So the mark, the name of the beast, the number of his name being connected by all. I wonder if it could in some way indicate degrees of affiliation with the beast or his image, but whatever the affiliation, God's condemning any degree of association, as we find in the third angel's message, Revelation 14, 9 to 11. Yeah, well, my understanding, yeah, the comment in the room, the number of his name is that 666, because the very next verse says, here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. But then it says, for it is the number of a man, or position, because the man would have to live longer than one generation, and his number is 666, this position that represents this power, which we know as the papacy, or the pope more particularly. That's my understanding, the number of his name. And isn't it interesting, what day was man created? Six. It's on the sixth day, and it mentions it three times here. And his number is 666. It's the man of sin, also designated in the scriptures, man of sin, the son of perdition, the one that sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now you'd say, well, that's a contradiction of terms. The apostate represent himself, well, because he's usurped someone's authority and his position and the prerogatives of God he claims to forgive. You've got the confessional, of course. You've got the mass that takes away the sacrifice. I was just talking to a dear Catholic, Matthew, in the bus depot, and I gave him a Roman Catholic tract, original Roman Catholicism, and he said, oh, bro, I just had a chance to, I started to read it, but I didn't read it all. I said, oh, Matt, you better read it to the end, mate. You'll get the whole story. He said, oh, okay. But I know you're not ignorant about us. You know, we got the sacraments and we got the mass. We got the, power. And he's talking like this. And I knew he was expecting me not to agree with him because you're a brother. Aren't you, James? And he gives a bit of a smile. You're a brother in the faith. I said, are you talking about ecumenism that you're so involved in? And he said, yeah. Amen, Sister Joan put it. I'm aware not to say those necessarily if you don't want me to say them, but the Curious Filii Dei, sisters put in the room, which equals 666. Yes. What do brethren and sisters get out of that question by Sister Joan, that she's, is the name of the beast, the number of his name, 666, is it the same thing, the number of his name, 666, is that how you all are reading it? And did you have an idea, Sister Joan, that has not been, I think you're sharing it for Caris for the idea, yeah.
Well, I remember studying this in high school, in Bible class. And they took various names and added Roman numerals to them. And the name on the Pope's mitre came out to be Vicaris Filii Dei. And so we were taught that that was the Pope that was number 666. And a lot of us never looked any farther than that. We just stopped right there because we found it. And that seemed to satisfy the prophecy there. It's the mark of the beast and the image to the beast and the whole thing.
Wow, that what a blessing to learn that in your teenage years. I think to myself, what would that have been like if I had learned that? It's not like I couldn't have, but, you know, that's wonderful. You learned something that early on. What a thought. Streets ahead. You know, there are a lot of claims regarding this name that, you know, you can imagine all the different, even Ellen G. White has been put there to come up as 666. But this beast has to be the one that once ruled for over 1,000 years, and that cannot fit anyone other than the Roman Catholic Church, which anyone that's got any understanding of history about the role they play will see that. And so it can't be a literal person. It would have to be a position that would be representing this beast power, the first beast, and that would carry over a successor each time. Now, they claim it comes all the way back to Peter. So that's why they're pretty excited. We're on the right team here. But the problem comes when you find out that the church that they're claiming to represent has no affiliation with Jesus and his heavenly ministry, no affiliation with the sacrifice, sacrifice once for all, and the heavenly ministration that followed on after that, the holy and then the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And of course, this idea of being able to forgive people's sins literally as if they were in the place of God, not as you hurt me, brother, and I'm coming to you. I'll tell you this, and, you know, do the Matthew 18 instructions when one commits an offense against another. But they're saying it from, although they would include that, they're saying it from a God point of view, that we in the place of God are doing that for you. And we give you absolutions as well. We even sell indulgences if you're interested. And so this idea is purely human-based. And you imagine how much the devil must rejoice at what is a masterpiece of his deception to introduce himself into the Christian church, which indeed was Christian, but now he's made it anti-Christian, place of Christ. And here he is presenting himself. Oh, by the way, I am God's representative. It's marvelous. Is that Sister Chaka?
Yes, I thought I might stop by before I have Bible study. How is everyone?
I'm getting better at picking up when you speak or before you speak. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you could join us if only for a little while. We're just getting to the end of Revelation 13, actually. It's such a meaty chapter. We're going to get an answer. We've looked at Revelation 13, but we don't actually get a picture of who comes through it. If you look at it, it's kind of negative. If it were to stop here, you think, oh, wow. You know, and he calls of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, you perceive a mark in the realm. Sounds like if I want to save my life, I better do that. But the reality is, if you really want to save your life, you've either got to lose it, or if you don't end up losing it, you were willing to, you'd be among the 144,000 that don't see death, the redeemed from the earth, who don't have a part in the seven last plagues that are prepared for those who worship the image and receive the mark of the beast. So that leads us to Revelation 14. What is the answer? And what church goes through? That's an interesting question. We've looked at the seven churches in the past. You'd think you'd get some revelation regarding this, seeing it's involving everyone on the planet. Well, we'll probably, Lord willing, have a look at that next week. Time's getting away from us. But and we'll also look at the fact, some spirit of prophecy quotes dealing with the mark of the beast not yet being applied yet, and just going through it as we come to an end. But we will look at Vicarius Filii Dei as well in a bit of detail, and I'm looking forward to that. But does anyone have anything they'd like to share, even if you want to share that now? Any findings you'd like to share before we open it up to a season of prayer?
Going back to the 14th verse of the 13th chapter, we should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. What wound exactly are they talking about, and was it with a literal sword, or was it the fact that the Pope was taken captive and put in jail? Is this a literal thing, or is this a figurative thing?
Great question. So we read in verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Praise the Lord! There's the saints. They're getting a mention in chapter 13. Well, they get a real big mention in chapter 14. I'm sure you know. But here we have the sword. Is it literal? Well, sometimes it was. And definitely the way the papacy ran was with force. Good description by using the sword, of course, because most of the time they didn't have guns. And as you said, sis, my understanding is it's speaking of, we read in this same chapter, it says, and I saw, verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. There's that terminology, wounded to death, right? And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So that clearly brings out something representing the beast was wounded. It was to death. And, but afterward, his deadly wound was to heal, and all the world was going to wonder after it. So all we have to know is who the beast is, how it's represented. And we find out it's the papacy through the Pope, who is the head of the church, and getting rid of the head of the church is wounding this beast power, which, as you pointed out, happened in 1798 in the month of February by General Berthier, Napoleon Bonaparte's general, who unwittingly, or whether they knew the Bible or not, fulfilled the 1260-year rule reign when it would exactly fulfill the prophecy of bringing to an end this power that ruled over Europe for over a millennium. Do other brothers and sisters have something to add or share or state? And Sister Joan, yourself?
Well, very good night. Excuse me to everyone. Good night and see you Friday. Thank you.
God bless, dear sis. See you soon. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
So if I understand this property, it was not a literal sword that wounded the Pope, but his power was taken away from him when he was put in jail, and the church would die without the head of the church. So that was a deadly wound, but later on, when the Pope was freed from jail, it started up again. So the deadly wound was healed and the beast was alive again. That's the way I understand it. Is that right?
Well, that's an interesting point that you bring out there, because I think it was Pope Pius VI. Don't you love their names? Pope Pius VI, he actually died in captivity, so he didn't come out alive. And when he was taken captive, there's some interesting pictures. Of course, it's not photos of that event. Very interesting, very descriptive. That the papacy was done away with and a republic was set up in its place. So essentially, like you say, it was taken away indeed. Of course, as you pointed out, later on, so after Pope Pius VI dies in captivity, it was, I think, 1815 or 13, somewhere about there, it is set up again with very limited power, but nothing like it had been and what it had been for over a millennium. That's my understanding. But the Pope did die in captivity. So it's, you know, you can see that sword factor in the sense, you know, although it wasn't with a sword, he died in captivity. I can't quite bring to mind what he died of, but I know it wasn't, you know, a beheading. Maybe a brother or sister could mention that it could have been old age, of course. You know, they don't check why they die. Actually, it's part of a rule at popes. They don't have autopsies. But, yeah, that's my understanding with the info in front of me. Does anyone want to add or say other things?
It seems to me that more than just the sword is figurative. The wound, yeah, you can say the church, but it doesn't really name the church. So, you know, there's a lot of figures in that.
Yeah, true, true. I mean, sword can be synonymous with warfare. So it doesn't literally have to be a sword that brings the wound, because sword can be warfare. And the wound, of course, the beast is the number of the beast is the number of a man. So you have that connection of the organization with a man. And if the man is no longer in power, then the organization ceases. So there's that integral connection here with the Pope and the Catholic Church. They're as one. And so warfare brought about the conquering of the Vatican. The Pope was led captive, and the decree of Napoleon was, after the death of Pope Pius VI, there will be no further popes elected. So that was a deadly wound to the position of the Pope and the operation of the Catholic system. So sword can represent warfare, and taking away power can represent a wound. So you have the spiritual aspect in there, but you also have the sword representing warfare, which was literal.
Well, after Napoleon, who reinstituted the Catholic Church?
Well, that is a fantastic question. I'm thinking of the Great Controversy statement that a little later after the event, I think it's Great Controversy, it just says that it was set up again, but with limited power. And something like 1813, so it's like 15 years removed from, you know, the wound, you know, the captivity that takes place. But I don't have that right in front of me, but we can find out, unless another brother or sister has that before them, the particulars.
Yeah, I was just aware it was a few years after, but I didn't have any specific year in the documentation that I had. But we can go to 1929, you know, with the concordant there, where the Vatican was granted temporal power over a portion of Rome. The Vatican, you know, the Vatican states, as showing that the wound was being healed.
Oh, yeah, amen. And I think for those, you know, especially Roman Catholics who don't like hearing this, obviously they're going to go not to the 1929, but they'll go as soon as it was set up again. And of course, the closer, the better, you know. Oh yeah, that was a wound. They don't call it a wound. That was just, you know, kind of like when there was two popes in medieval times. It's kind of like that, bit of a schism, but bit of a problem, but we got back on top. But as you pointed out, 1929 was a real year that, they received considerable power, land back, and administration, which they didn't really, to my understanding, they didn't actually receive in 1813 or 15, whatever the year is. It's just that the Pope got to go back on. I mean, you imagine you've got the biggest organization, religiously speaking. And Lucy and I were just talking about this recently. Like, when that happened, of course, Europe said, oh, and the Roman Catholic Church is dead. They're almost quite prophetic. But there were still churches operating. They were still operating. They still had some of the best lands in the world. They're still there, still operating. But the very foundation of its organization was broken. I mean, whoa, where's our, what they would call, where's the, the one that came after Peter? Where is he? Oh, he's in captivity. Oh, this is the saddest news. So even though a Roman Catholic might say, like, to make it look like, oh, that wasn't much big deal. I mean, we got it back in, 10 years, 13 years. It's not actually a big deal did happen because they know it because of the 1929 Chosen Concordat between Mussolini and Gasparri of what they actually got back. And that was a big move. And to think there's more yet to come, we know the wound's getting here. We wouldn't say it's completely healed just because the power she once enjoyed isn't quite there. And with the help of apostate Protestantism and spiritualism, this threefold concord that Revelation brings out, she's going to look like she wins, but in the end, she'll lose everything.
I have an idea of how it might have started coming back together. You know, they talk about money and power. It's countries like Salzburg, where the priests owned the mines, the salt mines, and whoever had the salt in those days were very rich because the world needed salt. So Salzburg was a very rich country, and the priests had the mines that were the salt. And maybe there were other holdings that the priests had. And this is all coming out of my head because it talks about money being the root, or the love of money being the root of all evil. You would think that the priests might have said, hey, let's get this power back. We can do it through the control of all of the riches that we have and that are needed worldwide. We'll just get it reinstituted. And there was enough Sunday keeping churches to make an image to the beast at that time. And so it took off again.
Well, you got me curious, sis. I'll look into that about the papacy, some of the circumstances related to its reinstitution, and Lord willing, have it next week in brief form. But it is interesting. I'm so glad we have access to the internet still, It's like a library and a little book that happens to be electronic. And, but that's interesting. I mean, it's so true. I mean, if you've got, you've heard the term, whoever has the money or makes the money, makes the rules. It's a concept that's existed and brought out the worst evils in this world. Yeah, amen to that other quote, the root. You hear a lot of people misquote it. The money is the root of all evil. No, it's not, brother. No, it's not, sister. It might be a Christian or it might be a non-Christian that state that. It says the love of it, because God doesn't want you stealing. You don't say, oh, I've got no money. Oh, well, it's evil. I'll just go steal. Thou shalt not steal. But the love of it. Good point. Fantastic point. Does anyone have anything else to share on what we've looked at so far? I know we don't look at a lot of we don't go far, but I appreciate you all of us, you know, we go slowly through it and as far as the Spirit leads us to understand together what we're learning from the scriptures. And I thank you all for, you know, coming and Brother Bob allowing me to, you know, run the Daniel. I think we started with Acts, although you started with it and then you offered it to me and, we started Daniel Revelation because it causes you to spend time studying what you not necessarily would have spent time on studying in greater detail. One particular text, which might become even more increasingly interesting, sending you off to other texts, which is really, it's really rewarding. And thank you for the questions and answers and insights that you have and are sharing because we need it, because we want to build ourselves in the true faith to help as many people to get out of the rut that we know clearly exists for people to think, you know, we're just a bunch of lunatics. Here are they that are departed from God who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But the Bible doesn't say that. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Nothing deluded about them, nothing about departing from God. They're wanting to follow God and serving with the whole heart and mind and soul. And the proof of that is their will to want to give up sin, which put Christ on that cruel cross. So, oh, what a blessing. Praise the Lord, Lucy. And it wasn't I honored to go through Revelation with you the first time years ago. Yeah, I'm glad too. I'm glad we go slowly as well.
I was just reading not too long ago that all the churches should be studying Revelation and they don't because they don't understand it. But they said it's really badly, badly needed in these last days. And the ones that study Revelation are really being blessed. And I feel it.
Amen, amen. Yeah, what a blessing we can see things. Not to say, oh, they don't know, but to say, oh, God cares about us. He wants us to know what has, what is, and what is to come. What a blessing. Blessed are they that readeth and hear the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Yeah, I think I read a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy that you might be thinking of when we first started, the blessing that attends it. Of course, obviously the inspiration too comes from the Bible that says about it, that blessed are those who read and hear the prophecies of this book, for the time is at hand. I want to share a small testimony with you. It's about our dear brother Matthew. He's a Roman Catholic. He's at my depot and, one day, I was talking to Sister Lucy, as I do on my break, after a meal, after a reading, after private worship, and I'm talking to her. I've got to have her on the loud phone, you see, because I've got this big, it's a phone and a tablet. I don't have a normal phone, and some people ask, why is it so big? Because I like to see what I'm looking at. I'm not going blind yet. And praise God. And I was talking to Lucy and I said, well, you keep looking up, sis, and God bless you. And Matthew's right next to me and he's looking at a shift for Saturday to work on Saturday because in Australia we're having the biggest event ever to do with footy. I think you've got that same problem in America. And they play it differently here. And it's actually being held at our city, which has never been before. It's only because of COVID and the circumstances they can't have a full house. They can only have a full house here. So you can imagine a lot of work at bus driving if you wanted it and that. And he works on Sabbath, of course, because he's a Roman Catholic. I'm not sure if he also does that for Sunday. I've not found that. He might be he might be strong keeping Sunday. But as I was saying goodbye to Lucy and I said, God bless, he said, oh, well, thanks, bro. And I thought, it's weird. Like, I thought he could hear Lucy because she's on loudspeaker. But anyway, he said that and I thought, you know what? I said that and I didn't have much time to talk to him. I just had to look at the bus and that. But I put the tract in his, on his locker, original Roman Catholicism. I'd already given him Steps to Christ and also something else in the process that I've known him, because he's always been there since I've been bus driving. And he said, thanks, bro. I mean, you could take that in a wrong way, like, oh, you know, just continue. Because I've had conversations with him in the past. It could mean a lot of things. I thought, well, I want to bless him, so I'll give him that. And he told me he read it the next day. And he started talking to me. He's sure, but we're all brothers and sisters. And I said, bro, I think I understand. I think to look at it in a different way, I think you're saying there are good Christians in all churches. Is that what you're saying? He said, yeah, just like this. And I said, please read the rest of the tract. And I didn't have much time with him, but I said, I'd love to get to know more about your faith, Matthew. Have you ever got time? He's already told me, as a married man, he doesn't have much time to himself. So I'm thinking I could have it with him and his wife. But he didn't say anything. And I said to Lucy, well, let's pray about it. We'll get him tomorrow, which was yesterday. And there he was. I not only saw him come into the depot with the bus. I said to Lucy, hey, let's have a word of prayer and I'll start walking so we can make sure he got as much possible, because he's going to go home otherwise. And as we're talking and that, he sees me coming. He sees I'm on the phone, but for some reason, it could be two reasons. I guess I look at the best possible example. He probably was short of time. He didn't even bother going into the depot. But he did see that I was going to the depot. I don't know if that put him off just because he didn't want to be held up or didn't want to talk to anyone, which can happen. It can take 10. You know, you stop and then you lose 20 minutes and now you've got only, you know, half an hour on your break or whatever. But he didn't stop. So I'm hoping for part two. We're on a different shift next time. But you know what I long for too is when a bus driver brought to my attention, hey, James, you're sitting on your job. I said, yeah, of course I am, a bus driver. He said, yeah, but, you know, look, you're just doing nothing. I said, yeah, I've got 2 minutes to leave from the terminus. He said, you make a perfect, you know, you fit in well on the Sabbath. Sorry, I didn't say Sabbath. You'll fit in well on Saturday having the footy. He said, it doesn't belong here. It should be in Melbourne. And I said, oh, no, but the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, yeah, because he's a Sunday keeper, but he's not a strong Christian. From what I can gather, he's not too convicted about it. And he said that, and I shared that. And then I realized, it dawned on me, oh, yeah, we're having the final here, because that's never happened in our history. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if someone could be in the car parks and put literature on the cars? I know they'll have a lot of people all around, because I've seen it with one when we were there taking people home from the buses. But you know, I can definitely, I suspect I probably will be fined for that for sure, because that's just, you know, it's like 1,000 churches in one place. But what a blessing. I'm so glad. I hope I've got something more to share with you all from Matthew, because I can't help but think this is one of the reasons Roman Catholics, they sort of think of it from the point of view, you're either lost because you're not a part of us, or you're saved because you're just a separated brother, you know, Vatican II sort of language. And of course, Protestants think like that too. They'll say things like, you know, they either won't show any interest in some truth you found from the Bible, because they think either one, oh, you're deluded and you're way off, or two, you're just, you're a brother. Yeah, you've got some quirky things, like you want to follow God, but we do too. But we do it in a different way. Just different strokes for different folks sort of attitude. Oh, thank you, bro. Oh, yes. Oh, dear Lucy. Yes. Don't forget that it's considered littering. Yeah. So how can I forget with the phone calls and the one-on-one, encounters I've had, right? Which thankfully is coming to an end. We're nearly at the end of the southern suburbs. And, we just kept getting held back with the weather and COVID a couple of times, but more so the weather. You don't want to travel an hour and a half to be told to go back because of the rain. So, yeah, thank you for keeping it in prayers. And I know our prayers are being answered before we ask, but it's important that before they're fulfilled, that we're part of that process and that we're involved with Jesus in that ministry in heaven, in working to be a blessing as he is. Yeah, amen. I've never been fined. I've only been threatened. And, you know, when people bring you up and, you know, they get you really offended and that, you say, bro, well, you might not necessarily call them a bro or a sister. I talked to some women, like a pastor who was a minister woman, Anglican church. I said, well, you know, you're offended at the truth shared and that, but it was just a one-off. You know, I realize you don't want it, but it's a one-off. I'm doing all the perf. And then some even go, well, stop doing all the perf. I said, brother, you cannot tell me to do that. I must do the work of the Lord, and that involves sharing it with everyone. Well, why don't you go to non-Christians? I said, because there's a last message of mercy to go to Christians, not just to non-Christians to get them converted, but for Christians to come away from the apostasy that they're part of with Babylon the Great. Usually they go quiet by then. But God help us inspire others to realize if we're really lost, wouldn't you care more than to just say we're wrong and then that's it? Wouldn't you go to some effort to show where they're wrong or acknowledge that maybe you're wrong? Maybe you've got something wrong. We had a sister, her name's Gabriel. She doesn't believe in Ellen G. White. I said, well, I didn't say that's wonderful, but I said, well, we don't need Ellen White to find the heavenly sanctuary, sis. Just read the whole book of Hebrews. Just read most of the Bible, which is the Old Testament, especially Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. You'll find it there. It's definitely there. And the book of Hebrews written by Paul brings that out in the book of Revelation. And she texted one day, hey, James, you want to have a study in Daniel 7? And I was thrilled. We haven't done it yet, but I'd love to see that come, because Daniel 7 is a good example of showing the investigative, the sentencing, and the executive judgment. I'm not sure we brought that out when we had our Daniel 7 study years ago, but maybe someone has brought that out already, but it can be shown just from that one chapter, those three phases of the judgment and the significance of where Christ is holy, most holy place. Anyway, I've talked a little. Thank you for listening. And is there anything anyone would like to share before we open up to a season of prayer? Oh, well, thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us again for another study at the Book of Revelation. It's so important we share what we're getting from our own private prayer and study and reading, because all the help we can get, that's what God is giving us through brothers and sisters with different gifts in the church, and to increase in the gifts and to get better with the gifts. And thank God for the gifts. Thank God for the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Well, shall we open with a season of prayer? If someone's impressed to pray and others, please feel free to do so. And I will go last.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being a God who hears and answers prayers. in your timing, of course, and your timing is perfect. Thank you for your wisdom in knowing the future. And please continue to build our faith and hope and trust in you to the point that even though we do not understand why certain things happen or when they happen or the intensity and our belief in your love is tried and tested, yet we know that you are unchanging, and thus whatever you say is true. Help us to become so established upon the truth that no matter what arguments come against it, it will not shake our faith in it or in our Savior in any degree. Help our anchor to be sure and steadfast in the most holy place where our Savior is. Help our footing be immovable on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And thank you so very much for enabling us to know the little bit of truth that we do, and for the grace and strength to understand it and the courage to follow it, regardless of the cost. Thank you so much for allowing us to gather together and continue to be with us as we part. Bring us back together again soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks, as always, for the joy and the many privileges of being able to call you Father, of being able to use that term to describe our connection with you, and we are mindful of the fact that this connection encompasses guidance, protection, comfort, forgiveness, and above all, your abiding love for us. May we always remain mindful of this enormous blessing, and may we be duly appreciative of it also. We are mindful too, Father, that your church, which is us, each one of us, a member making up the united whole, must work together in unison to show ourselves truly as members of the one body, no matter how far we are physically separated. And we give special thanks that one way we can pursue this unity is by fellowshipping together as we are right now, by studying your word together, as we've just been doing in the book of Revelation, discussing this and learning from one another. Let us not lose sight of what an extraordinary privilege this is in the understanding of your teachings for us. In conclusion, dear Father, may we constantly remain mindful of this and the many, many other blessings we constantly receive from you, unworthy though we so often are. We give thanks also for your hearing this humble prayer, which we offer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so glad that, like the song says, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, that we can retreat to that place when there's so much trouble around that one can hardly think. We know that we're near to your heart. You sent your Son to die for us, and he wouldn't have done that if he hadn't loved us with a love that we don't quite understand but are so happy to know about and to experience. And thank you, dear Lord, for that quiet place where we can know that we're protected, we're loved, and that soon we shall be able to go to a place of quiet rest and wonderful joy and health and never have to say goodbye again, and all because of your great love and all because of Jesus. And help us to remember that each day whenever we feel ruffled or afraid. We don't need to be, because you're stronger and you're more capable than anything that can be thrown up against us. And thank you, dear Lord, for this promise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, thank you for this relationship that we have the privilege of having with you through and by and in Jesus, of the connection with heaven that makes it possible for us to follow your word over and above man's word, no matter how seemingly, to all appearances and sounds, it appears convincing. Help us maintain our faith that, as dear brother mentioned, the little knowledge that we do know, you know everything. It's so little in comparison that what you have given is able to keep us from falling. You have not left anything that's needful for our salvation. Help us remember the power of grace that's able to make sure that our crown is not taken from us, that every crown has at least one star, and it's our privilege for working for others, even though they might seem to be so uninterested in showing them thy love in ways that we know will make a difference to them, if only that's all they see in us, in being kind alone, that they would indeed be open to more that we have of your good news to us that buoys up our spirits. Especially help us bear in mind that the more that we have a genuine experience, the more it's going to be efficacious to convincing others that we have the truth and the promises of Scripture fulfilled to us, made apparent to others, because we're following Jesus and according to his word have been adopted in the beloved, though we once loved sin, the service of sin. We are being sanctified through the truth, and they can too. Thank you for preserving the truth. Thank you that we have the privilege of looking back on all the history, to great extent. In fact, there's so many books about history, but we have the one book that gives us the sacred history that really counts first and foremost, and everything extra biblical. And with the help of the gift to the church, the spirit of prophecy, can understand better thy purpose for us today. I want to thank you, by the way, for allowing the internet not to drop us out. Thank you for making it again possible. May our Sabbath, this next Sabbath coming upon us, be richer than the last. May we each expect great things, not because we're great, not because our home church is great, or we came from a big denomination that we left, or whatever idea, but because you're great and Jesus is good and has all power in heaven and earth to give only that which is good for his children, even if that means withholding something from us. Help us learn to accept thy providence as we comply with the conditions laid down in the plan of redemption for our souls. with our brethren and sisters to get deep rest, but they wake up so refreshed and rejuvenated for the next day's service in God, God's calling of them, and for our work, for those of us who are in the day time, to work while it's day, to work with the gifts of time that you've given us to fulfill thy work in our lives and make sure our election, that it's not in vain that Christ died for us and is serving us if we will allow him to serve with his Holy Spirit to convict of sin, righteousness and judgment. In Jesus we pray and thank. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, is there any parting thoughts? Anyone has any songs, any requests before we close? Ah, and I see we still don't have our dear brother Dick, but we know the song and we miss him. I'm sure it could be an internet issue. Hopefully it's not something else. Amen. Looking forward to next time too. I think we might still do just the last part of Revelation 13 to link with 14. It's such a fulsome, there's so much information available, isn't it? You get the benefits when you believe the Bible, and which leads you to accept the gift of the Spirit of prophecy as well, but you don't have that, well, you miss out on a lot. And God help us get all the blessings he's given us to have, to use, to his glory while time lasts for us each. Well, it's been a privilege once again, and Lord willing, we'll all be able to meet and other brothers and sisters online soon with Sabbath or Sabbath preparation for some, which is not far away. But until then, God be with you and keep looking up. And, did a brother or sister want to sing that for us? Well, you're happy with me to sing it. We can always have a choir.
You do a great job, Brother James.
Yes, and Luce, this is not to be confused with football when they get a goal. Oh, wow, Brother Bobby keeps getting better with his graphics. It's just fantastic. Oh, I see, he's had a shave. That's wonderful. Keep looking up. My God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Amen. And remember the silver lining. Behind the dark cloud, there's a sun behind it waiting to shine on us. And you know, Jesus is that sun, spiritually speaking, the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings. Hugs all around. Take care. We keep you in prayer. God bless you.